You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Half Right Podcast.
And two episodes in a week.
Two episodes in a week, you know. Lakia is very unprofessional. I'm surprised I could get her two times in 1 week to actually do the podcast. Man, so that's a plus.
It's the instant analysis. We got to do it. We got to get the people
That's a plus.
You got to stop saying I'm unprofessional. But go ahead.
Yeah, like, I called her last night. She's nowhere to be found. But anyway, you know,
we're back, guys.
We're back.
Episode 18 of the Half Right Podcast. We're moving.
18 episode.
18 episode.
That's insane.
Yeah. Do you know what that means? I think our 20th one is going to be our SmackDown Instant Analysis.
Oh, so that's dope.
That's going to be a big one.
That's dope. I don't know who gave you authority to say when our 20th one was going to be, though. You guys see how she makes all the
moves. No, I'm talking about, but, like, timing-wise and what we discussed.
Anyway, enough about that. NXT.
Alfonso has a bone to pick with NXT, y'all. Go ahead.
I do have a bone to pick. NXT is amazing. It's not so much with NXT.
You have a bone to pick with WWE Network.
Yes, I have a bone to pick with WWE. Because this shit is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
What's so ridiculous?
It's like the fucking everyone who knows and listens to this podcast knows that I watch NXT, but I never watch it on Wednesday nights. You get what I'm saying? I never watch it when it's actually on. I rarely watch it when it's on. I always, you know, try to put in effort and catch it. But tonight it was fucking live, and that's just so amazing, because the first hour with that fatal four-way, amazing. The second hour, you know, I go upstairs to my room, because I was watching downstairs in the kitchen. I go up to my room and I try to turn on WWE Network. And what happens? Why is WWE Network not allowing me to sign in? I'm hyped about NXT. I just saw a phenomenal match between Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong, and I can't log in to my fucking WWE Network. And I was very upset about it. Lakia knows that I was upset about it. I was telling her I was going to cancel my WWE Network subscription, you know, until I went on Twitter and found out everybody else was having the problem, which made it a little better, but it's also unacceptable. Like, we shouldn't be having this problem. So, you know, I was upset about that. I was really upset. If you would have talked to me an hour ago, I would have been upset. I was very hot.
He was big mad.
I've been looking forward to NXT, you know, on USA and it being live for a minute. And I was very mad. Very, very mad. Very mad. So I was angry. And
clearly, what it comes down to is that as of late, I mean, back to back, because it was glitchy during SummerSlam, which we talked about, it's glitchy now. It's like you have these big moments happening on the WWE Network, and it's glitchy as hell. So, I mean, that's what happens with technology. Unfortunately, when you have something live, it makes it even worse. Yes, people, you can say that you can go back and stream it, but it's not the same thing. Like Alfonso,
yes, exactly.
Coming off of that high of seeing, you know, that match between Velveteen and Roderick Strong, coming off that high of seeing it live on USA, you want to be able to literally cross over seamlessly to this platform that they have been promoting since basically the beginning of NXT. I mean, NXT when it was NXT, the beginning.
My whole thing
in 2014.
My whole thing with NXT, it's not like, oh, I just watched it because it was on USA. That was dope. I watched it because it was live. You get what I'm saying? This was literally live. And, you know, I was really excited to watch it. and I was really disappointed when I just couldn't switch over. Because you know that match between Killian Dane.
We're gonna
and,
get to it. Hold on.
Riddle. That I wanted to see that. You get what I'm saying? Hold I was on. Excited to see that.
We're gonna get so, to it. We're gonna get to
I
it.
I know we're gonna get to it, but I'm just saying that I was looking forward to matches in that match in the second hour of the show.
Right.
NXT did a great job of keeping our attention.
I think you the get spacing what I'm saying? Was amazing. I think it really
yes.
was. It was
and amazing. Obviously that match with Strong and Velveteen had to go on where it went on because you have to put that on USA.
Right.
So
I feel like when you look at SmackDown and Raw seems so dragged out. SmackDown is like you get a little taste, but it's like NXT left me wanting more. When I watch Raw for 3 hours, I'm beat. When I watch SmackDown, I'm like, all right, it's over. But this, I wanted to see more, especially with the way that it ended. So let's jump right into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
All right. So I want to talk about two tweets that went out. First, let's talk about Vince McMahon and the tweet that he put out. I want to get your reaction on this. He put, to quote the man behind the incredible success of WWE NXT, are you ready? Tonight, the pride and passion of our NXT superstars will shine under a new spotlight on USA Network. And then it was like a little vignette of NXT. This is coming from the boss himself, the big man, Vince McMahon. It's good shit, Vince McMahon. What do you think about him tweeting this? There was a lot of, he's got a lot of backlash on this one because a lot of people don't want him touching NXT. Nobody wants him near NXT. But also, with what he does with who comes from NXT to the main roster, what do you think about his tweet tonight?
You know, my first thought was, please stay far away from NXT, Vince. That was my first thought of, you know, him posting that. But then it was like, you know, he's promoting WWE, NXT is under him. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't run NXT. You know, Triple H does that. But NXT is under the WWE umbrella. It's on USA. A lot of people follow Vince McMahon. You know, I feel like it was just him promoting his product. And, you know, he did give nods to Triple H with the Are You Ready? And, you know, I'm cool with Vince promoting NXT. As long as he stays away from it, I don't have a problem. He could tweet all he wants. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
All right, cool. Then we got it from the man, Triple H, and what he tweeted, which was, I'm trying to see if it was like at the same time. I had the tweet pulled up. Let me go back because it's worth reading. He said, there have been so many moments for WWE NXT, first shows, first international tours, first takeovers, and tonight we go live on USA Network. We've done a lot to get here, but this isn't the destination. This is the start, and you haven't seen anything yet. We are NXT. I mean, if anybody could get you reeled into NXT to watch it,
it's that man.
It's Triple H. I mean, what he said at the beginning of the show with the don't blink, and, you know, he didn't come out. I was expecting him to come out in, like, his sweats and stuff. You know, that little NXT sweatsuit he has. You know, Sean in the back with his NXT hat that he always wears. I was expecting him to come out like that, but he came out like the boss that he is. But Triple H, when he does a promo, and this isn't just a promo, you know, this is his baby that he's, you know, created and developed. And, you know, we watched I think it was like the WWE 24 thing that they did of Triple H when he was leading up to Mania. Like, to see how hard this man works and to see NXT where it is, like, y'all, I really can't get over how far NXT has come. Like, I really, really can't. And for them to be on USA, WWE has officially taken over. On Mondays on USA, there's Raw. On Wednesdays, they have NXT. And then after NXT goes off, if you switch over to the E Network, they're going to have Total Divas, and everybody's going to be watching that one because Ronda Rousey's going to be on there. Of course, the Bella Twins and all the other people, but Ronda Rousey is going to be on there. Then on Friday, you have SmackDown on Fox. And then when you add in Sundays every month, there's a pay-per-view. I mean, WWE is just, they're doing a damn thing right now. So the show itself started out with a kick-ass Fatal 4-Way with Io Shirai, Candice, Bianca Belair, and Mia Yim. Candice LeRae, she came out with the win. What do you think about her going up against Shayna?
I think that'll be good. I mean, out of the women in the matches, the women in the match, you know, three of them had had their one-on-one championship opportunity against, you know, Shayna Baszler. And Candice LeRae was the only woman who had not, I think she had not faced her one-on-one for the belt, you know. So I feel like Candice LeRae is a good challenger. I don't think Candice LeRae is going to beat Shayna Baszler.
Exactly.
I think I think it's just going to be a kick-ass match because I've watched Candice LeRae fight and all her matches are incredible. Wrestling is just so, like her and she, not only because they're married, but her and Gargano, they remind me so much of each other. You get what, like their, mm-hmm. their skill sets and everything. And
What do you think about Gargano not being on the debut show tonight? Well, the live debut tonight.
I don't really see where Gargano fits in. I know moving forward, you know, when they really start doing the 2 hours on USA, he's going to be a fixture. I mean, he is Mr. NXT, so it's kind of like bittersweet that he's not, that he wasn't, you know, on tonight's show. I really feel like he should have been on tonight's show. He's Mr. NXT. He's main evented pay-per-views. He's been a big part of NXT's success. He's on the NXT Mount Rushmore, if you ask me. I would definitely put him up there. No one's competed at more takeovers than him. He puts on 5-star matches damn near every
That's
takeover
That's a conversation
match.
For another yes, episode. You that, talk that, about Mount Rushmore, man.
That is a conversation for another episode. But I think we have to, if you want to talk about longevity, we will have that conversation eventually. But I'm definitely putting Johnny on mine. So I think he should have been on the night show, but he wasn't. And his wife was. And that match, that fatal four-way was incredible. I feel like sometimes when we watch wrestling, Raw and SmackDown, you watch Raw and you watch SmackDown, and you ask yourself, why do I like professional wrestling? Why am I watching this? Like, why am I watching this? Like, literally, what is making me watch this? And then you watch NXT, and it takes you back to the first time you ever saw wrestling. And you're reminded why you love it so much. And that's what tonight was for me watching NXT. Like, I was literally reminded why I fell in love with professional wrestling. Why I love professional wrestling because of watching NXT tonight. Like, sometimes Raw and SmackDown, they just make me wonder, why do I even still watch this shit?
You know why? Dishes. Because the product is so saturated and cheesy. It's like NXT still has that Raw edge to it. And I also think, to piggyback off of what you said with it taking you back to when you first started watching wrestling, I think that the whole setup of NXT and the location and how the crowd looks and how when you're watching a match, you are zoned in, you know, you're zoomed in on that match because of how they hit the lights and how, you know, it just it's just like edgy. It has an edge to it and the storylines have an edge to it. I will say that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we saw tonight wasn't anything new as far as storylines. You know, you had to be caught up in some way or another to really know what was going on. But like we said, the timing was spot on. But also, I just think that with the way that it is presented, you don't really need to know what the hell is going on to be entertained because it's straight up, this is what we want. We want to see wrestling. The storyline and all that can come with it afterwards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the difference to me between NXT and the flagship of WWE with SmackDown and Raw. You know, when you look at those two, it is more of, we need to have this storyline. We need to shove it down your throats. It needs to be more talking. It's more soap opera. We're not getting that with NXT. And I think that's what's going to distinguish it going forward and really make it a viable competitor versus AEW and why it needed to be AEW versus NXT and not AEW versus SmackDown.
Yeah, because I feel like AEW versus NXT is a win-win for WWE because, like, think about it. If NXT beats AEW in ratings, WWE can just say, oh, we had our developmental brand beat you. And if they lose, they could be like, well, oh, that's just our developmental. You get what
like
I'm
like? Like, you haven't seen the real thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're happy because you beat our minor leagues? Like, you literally, and we all agree that NXT is anything but minor league, but, exactly. You know, that's just how it'll be formed. You get what I'm saying? But if WWE wins, it's like, that'll be real big.
I also think, I also think it's interesting, though, real quick, that it's, you know, when we saw the AEW, the first pay-per-view that they did, how when Cody came out, he, you know, basically broke the throne of Triple H, his moniker. So to have him going up against the guy that he just ain't rocking with, that is even better for me than him going up against Vince. Of course, it's Vince. It's Vince's shit. It's good shit in Vince's words. But, I mean, I just think that that's a cool angle, too.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think, I mean, me personally, which one come October 2nd will you be tuned into? Which one do you think you'll watch?
Oh, man. Are we going to flip a coin?
I think we have to flip a coin.
We're going to have to flip a coin.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to flip a coin. Okay. We're going to have to come up with a format or something. We're going to have to flip a coin. And
because we're definitely gonna do an instant analysis of the AEW show, I don't know if both of us will be watching it.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have to talk about both. That I don't know. It's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be interesting. I think that we should talk about both though, because
we could. I mean, we could. We, you know what? I think this would be a fair one. We could do. You could do the first. We could do either way you want to do it. One of us does the first hour of NXT.
One of us does
the first hour of AEW, and then we switch it, and then we personally say which one we like more. That'll be perfect. After that, we could just flip-flop, which we'll probably do for the next week. We'll record one and watch the other one. But this, I will say this. This is a great time to be a wrestling fan,
yes.
And that was a great fatal four-way between four great women. You get what I'm saying? Like,
and it would have been a fatal match. Five-way. Remember that. It would have been a fatal five-way with
Rhea Ripley,
but that match didn't end the way that it should have. So it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. I mean, it's so much content out there. My thing when it comes to AEW, which we're going to talk about near the end, though, I just want to see going forward which side they're going to be on. Are they going to be that edgy side? Are they going to be like over elaborate with the storylines, especially what they're doing with Chris Jericho when they have characters like the Young Bucks? So they're introducing a product that not many of us know that's going to be watching live
or are familiar with at all. I feel like NXT kind of has like the, you know, the upper hand sort of, because they've been on TV and they've made us love it for so long. Like, if you put Raw or SmackDown against AEW, you know, people are unfamiliar with AEW, but I feel like a lot of people might watch AEW that, you know, when it comes to NXT, they're going to choose NXT over AEW because they've become such diehard fans of the NXT brand. But I think AEW, who do you think will win the ratings war first week? Like, who do you think will win it? NXT or AEW?
NXT.
You don't think AEW just because it's the first show?
No.
All right. Yeah.
I feel like with AEW, first of all, they knew what they were doing starting it here 2 weeks before October 2nd. They knew what they were doing with that. If that meant that they had to shift between an hour here and an hour there for USA's show Suits to finish their final season, then so be it. We'll do that for 2 weeks. But come October 2nd, oh, we on for 2 hours? So we could just get y'all
I feel like that was very smart.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're giving you a teaser for the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then
yes.
On October 2nd, you getting the whole shebang. Like,
yes.
We're
yes.
Really,
yes.
Not everybody that's watching is going to pay for WWE Network regardless. They'll wait to see it on YouTube. They'll wait and just read the tweets. They'll just wait. So they're like, you know what? I'm not paying for WWE Network to watch no NXT. That's nice. Because, you know, if you compare it to AEW, because we know there's different types of wrestling fans. But I think strategically, that was so smart. I think that at first I was kind of concerned about the 2 hour split, but I think that it's genius, especially after watching it tonight. I didn't want to switch to WWE Network. I wanted to keep watching, you know?
Thankfully, we had access to it.
You know what I'm saying? But
it's genius when the network works, when you want to switch over, Lakia.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it is genius to have them just have 1 hour. The circumstance and why they had to split it is genius. Because it's like, here's this 1 hour, and then you have the Undisputed Era. I call it the Undisputed Era match because they got involved. When you have that match, and then it ends it, and it's like, hold up, what's going to happen? And then it just cuts off. And then it's like, next week, what's going to happen? And then October 2nd, it's like, you get the whole 2 hours, so let's go. I love it.
I did predict the Undisputed Era would be dripping in gold.
Yeah, predicted that at NXT TakeOver, so yeah.
But it don't matter. It don't matter, though, because it happened. Stop hating on me, bro.
You hating on your little brother, bro.
That's a damn shame, bro. But I'm right, and you didn't see it coming.
Speaking of the Undisputed Era, since we went there, the Undisputed Era now holds all the gold. The NXT Championship, the North American Championship, and the Tag Team Championship. They hold all the gold. I will say that, you know, now that I think about it, they took the gold from our fellow Black people, the Street Profits and Velveteen Dream, but they hold all the gold nonetheless.
I think Velveteen Dream is headed for bigger things. I could actually see, you know who I think should, now that I'm thinking of it, I think he'll get into a program with Adam Cole. I think Velveteen is ready to be NXT champion. He's proven that match after match. And you know what Velveteen has on his side is he's homegrown in WWE. Mm-hmm. Like, the wrestling that he's done since Tough Enough, WWE made him and developed that character.
Right. It's not
WWE loves being able to take credit for things. And they can take credit for Velveteen Dream. Because they helped.
You can't take credit for like a Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Or an Adam
Tommaso. They've been doing it for years.
Right.
But you can take credit for Johnny. You can take credit for somebody like Velveteen.
Let's also note how young Velveteen is.
And 24 years old.
I mean, he is a baby compared to these other wrestlers. And he is amazing in the ring. And his character is so infectious. I see much bigger things for Velveteen in NXT.
I asked my uncle who doesn't watch wrestling. I'm like, who is his character based upon? He's like, Prince, huh? And I'm like, yup. And Velveteen, he's relatable. Like, you turn on the screen and you see Velveteen and you don't want to stop watching. He has something that I feel like not a lot of other wrestlers have. Like, he has that watch me factor that I'm going to say not on the level, potentially one day on the level, but like, if you turn on wrestling and you've ever seen a John Cena, you're like, who's that guy? Who's the guy in jean shorts? You get what I'm saying? Like, who's wrestling in that? And then if you turn on and you see a guy like Roman Reigns, the big Samoan with the long, like, he has that stuff where you will stop and watch if he's wrestling.
Yeah, because you're going to be like, who the hell is that?
Yes. And he's so flamboyant and like just out, like, his character is amazing.
Yeah, he's very flamboyant is right. But I mean, it's worked for him.
It's worked.
His character is a character that they created it and it took off, and it's just getting better with time, you know? Well,
the thing is, when I first saw Velveteen, I was like, who the hell is this guy? Who the hell is this guy? Like, seriously, who is he? And then watching him, I'm like, oh, this guy's the shit. He's definitely that dude.
I think the first time that I saw Velveteen, like, really, really saw him was in that, I think it was when they debuted the North American title when they had that ladder match. That's when he really caught my eye, and I was like, this guy, you know, I have to Google everybody and see how old they are. And then I saw his age and I was like, oh, this is going to be really, really big. This is going to be big things for him. So he didn't get it that time, but the way that his career has literally just, he's been able to take everything. And I think that you're right. He could be NXT championship material.
He's definitely NXT championship material.
though.
I'd like to personally see Velveteen hold it a little longer. I mean, Adam Cole hold it a little longer, you know, because I think it took him a while to get to that level. So maybe not yet, but one day eventually, for sure.
I like that Undisputed Era has all the gold, though.
Yeah, I love it.
Because I am someone that loves factions. I love, like, I think back to, you know, we've talked about it with Evolution, and, you know, then when Evolution disbanded, Randy had a Legacy, and, you know, you can even throw in the New Day, the Shield, and when you put in, you know, the Nation of Domination, and then the Authority, and then when you had the Corporation back in the day. I mean, I love factions. It's nothing like a good old-fashioned faction to me. And that's what we get from the Undisputed Era. I think that's what makes NXT so great, is that you get a little bit of the old and the new. You get a little bit of the, like you said, the homegrown superstars and the people that come over to NXT that are already developed. When you look at someone like Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano, and even people that have gone on from NXT, like a Samoa Joe and a Bobby Roode, that had developed already in previous, you know, promotions. So I'm here for all the gold. I'm here for the faction, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do next, because it's going to be interesting and funny as hell every week with, you know, the Undisputed Era. Other 100%. Surprises that happened tonight. Leo Rush is back.
Leo Rush. I know that we've, you know, talked about Leo Rush.
We clowned Leo Rush on the Half Right podcast.
We clowned him, but Leo, I'm so happy to see. And you know what? I think we clowned him on stuff that we didn't really know about. You know, we could hear all these stories and stuff like that, but we don't know Leo Rush, the man, or what he was going through, or if the stories said about him were true. I did hear Mark Henry speak on the situation, and Mark Henry, he seems pretty straightforward to me. But I'm so happy to see Leo Rush back doing what Leo Rush. When I heard that Leo Rush, you know, he may potentially be released from WWE, it didn't sound right to me, because with the climate, like, and the way the wrestling world is, everything that's going on, you don't let a guy of Leo Rush's talent leave. You don't send somebody like him out. Leo Rush is as we saw when he was Bobby Lashley's manager, he's money on the mic.
Leo annoying Rush sometimes. He's trending on Twitter.
Money on the mic. Amazing on the mic. Leo Rush is amazing on the mic. He's also one of the he reminds me of kind of like a Rey Mysterio with the thing. And you know, a lot of these high flyers modeled their games after Rey Mysterio. But Leo Rush, he does things in that ring that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, did you see that stunner? Is that a stunner? That off the ropes? That was a stunner. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that. Amazing. He does things that this was probably, you know, the fatal four-way between the women was amazing. My favorite match was obviously Velveteen and Roderick Strong. But this was, like, favorite moment, like, Leo Rush coming back where he belongs, because he worked so hard to get to WWE. How old is Leo Rush? I know Leo Rush is pretty young.
No, let me see. Let me pull it up. I will say that the whole thing with how Triple H said that, you know, there's NXT and then there's the Cruiserweight division, the 205 Live. And I think it was something else, was it? Oh, NXT UK. How there's NXT UK and the Cruiserweight. How they're like all under one umbrella. How he was able to infuse all of them in one show in 2 damn hours without, I mean, flawlessly. I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed. One match got you hooked back into 205. Because now I want to see Leo Rush. His win got him a number one contender match against Drew Gulak for the for the Cruiserweight Championship. So that's interesting. And then, you know, there was also the NXT UK invasion against this guy, Denzel. I've never seen him before, but I did tweet that the guy, Denzel, His music is like a Fresh Prince meets New Jack Swing kind of thing. If you guys don't know music, Google what the hell New Jack Swing is. Some of y'all might not know that. But I would never say that I was happy to see Leo Rush again, but I'm happy to see Leo Rush again. Leo Rush is turning 25 this year. He's November 11th, 1994.
He's too young and too good for WWE to let something like that slip away. So I'm so happy to see him back.
Kind of reminds me of Sasha.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see him back. Hopefully he, you know, can respect his peers and the people who paved the way for him and the veterans of the locker room and stay out of trouble. And we don't really have to hear about Leo anymore.
Hopefully. Wish him all the best. Because that match he had tonight, that was the first time I saw Leo Rush wrestle. I've never seen him wrestle before.
Yeah, he's amazing. I knew what he could do, but I'm just happy that him and WWE worked things out and he was able to return tonight. I mean,
for you to be on NXT, you got to be decent because Triple H don't just let anybody wrestle on there.
And to, especially to be a guy of Leo Rush's size as well.
He is a true cruiserweight.
Yes, he's a true cruiserweight. You have to be able to wrestle. You have to be able to wrestle.
So, I have a couple more things before we end. We have a couple more things we want to talk about. I have a question for you, though. With NXT having the location of Full Sail, do you think that this is going to help the product in the long run with it being live? You know, like everybody gravitates to one location. They're not traveling every week like Raw and SmackDown. Do you think that's going to be beneficial?
Yeah, I do, but I forgot where I heard somebody, you know, raise this question and it made some type of sense. What do you think people are gonna think when they turn on NXT
mm-hmm.
and they see it in, you know, Full Sail Arena, that small, like, kind of intimate setting, and then they turn on AEW, and then they see AEW in this arena? Or do you think it doesn't matter? Because I personally, what makes NXT feel so great is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially the shows. I mean, and then when they go to arenas for takeovers, like that, though, it makes them being in an arena even bigger.
It makes it special.
I don't want to see them leave Full Sail. Because we can all see it. I love NXT where it is. NXT is special because of the location.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see it remain in that location.
Let me say this. I think that AEW is, you know, they have the funding behind them, but I hate to say it, y'all, but it just reminds me of a WCW kind of situation. Like, you got all your eggs in one basket. Not to, you know, downplay the work that Cody and Brandi specifically have put into this, because everybody else, I'm not saying that they haven't, you know, but Cody Rhodes, this has always been like a dream of his, basically.
Okay, let's not give all the credit to Cody and Brandi. Tony Khan is putting his money into this.
No,
so please don't disrespect that man. Like, Brandi and Cody. Listen, I don't want to hear that.
I'm not done. I'm talking about them as a couple compared to like Triple H and Stephanie as a couple. That's why I use Brandi and Cody as an example. But when you talk about arenas, let me ask you this. Is AEW going to be in the arena every week? Are they going to be in the same arena? Are they switching it up like SmackDown?
No, I believe they're like SmackDown and Raw. They're going to be
okay. And this, in different and this arenas. Is where the problem is going to come into play. Okay. Number one, you're a new brand. When you were trying to fill, I don't see them filling all the seats because WWE damn sure don't. So I don't see them filling all the seats. No matter what WWE says, they're lying when they say that they filled all the seats. There are seats that are empty. I mean, when you look at AEW and who they're competing against, arena-wise, they're competing against SmackDown and Raw. Talent-wise, they're competing against NXT. I think that NXT being in a league of their own, having their own distinguished location, we're not moving, we're not changing, we don't have to try to figure no shit out. This is where we are. We are NXT. This is our home. AEW doesn't have a home. You know what I'm saying? You don't have... They don't also, we don't at all also don't know if they're going to have homegrown superstars. Because if you think about it, all of the superstars that we've been seeing, we already know them. We don't know them because we're not really indie wrestling fans, but we know of them. Like, I've heard of Kenny Omega. I've heard
Kenny
of
Omega.
We know, I'm really a fan we of know Kenny who Omega. The hell Chris Jericho is. We know who Cody Rhodes is. We know who, what's her name? Awesome Kong? Was that her name? Karma. Same person? Is that the same person?
Same person.
Okay.
Same
person. We know who I don't she know is. Him. We know who she is from TNA times. We know who she is. But, I mean, are they going to have the homegrown? I'm interested in the first hour of AEW because I want to see how they're going to present it. Because they're in a special place where they can give us these storylines and I want to know if that's what they're going to focus on. Is it going to be like a well put together show or is it just going to be like, I don't know. I feel like with NXT, it just gets better and better. And the wrestling is just amazing. And the storyline is nothing too fluffy. It just gets straight to the point. So I think that them having the own location gives them some grounding versus having to go to arena every week. And you could say that, okay, so what does that mean for SmackDown and Raw? You can't compare it because SmackDown and Raw have been doing this for decades. You know what I'm saying? They're not new. This is not a new, you know, thing. But to me, what AEW reminds me of is a live show of SmackDown and Raw. That's what that's going to come down to. A live show. How it's a little bit smaller scale. It's not as big. I think we went to a live show in Camden one time. Was that SmackDown that we went to?
It was near Trenton, I believe.
No, okay. Trenton, Camden, they're right next to each other. I thought it was Camden. But anyway,
Isn't Camden like the hood?
So is Trenton a little bit. But I know that...
Isn't that our state's capital?
Yeah. And the state's capital is right across the street from the hood. Fun fact about Jersey. But I think that the arena we were at was Santander. I believe that's where it was. And we went to a SmackDown live event. Yeah, because it wasn't Raw. The Raw live event that we went to was at MSG. And that was crazy. That was
one of the best wrestling shows I've ever been to.
Yeah, we've gone to some good stuff. So to answer your question, I don't think that there's competition right now, but I wish AEW all the best. I'm not gonna throw no shade. But last but not least, how did the show end? The show ended with a street fight. Who was the street fight between? Riddle and Killian Dane, right? That's his Killian Dane and bro, Matt Riddle. The match started in the ring and then it ended up backstage and then it turned into an all-out brawl with the locker room. And that was just NXT putting everybody on notice, not just AEW, but SmackDown and Raw too. We want the smoke, as the Street Profits would say. They want the smoke. They're ready. And if anybody is ready, Triple H don't play no games, y'all. It's only going to get better. You gave this man 2 hours? You gave this man 2 hours every week? Oh, come on. Triple H has been waiting for this moment, okay?
Triple H is one of the great... I'm going to be real with you. When it comes to these battles, Raw, SmackDown, like, Triple H is... I feel like he's proven that he's one of the AEW... When it comes to who do I trust more that runs these shows... The problem and issue with AEW is I don't ever believe in my heart that a show ran by wrestlers is ever going to work.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact that they're wrestlers. They meet Tony Khan at a point, and I know he's a super fan, and I've listened to Tony Khan talk, and I'm really a fan of him because It's pretty much like us if we were billionaires and we had money to start up a wrestling promotion. He truly loves wrestling, like when you hear him talk. But I feel like you can't have wrestling, like you can't have them making all the decisions. At the end of the day, these are wrestlers with big egos. You don't think Cody would not like to be AEW champion? You don't think he would want to be AEW world champion?
I think like, with something like that, it comes down to, are you going to have your business hat on? Or, because if you think about, let me put it like this, right? You said, does Cody want to be AEW champion? All right. So that's the difference between Triple H having his own promotion now with NXT, even though it's under the WWE umbrella, NXT is known as Triple H's. When he was still in WWE and, you know, I mean like wrestling, when he beat Roman for the title, it's like you still have this executive role, but here you are winning titles. And I think that's going to be the kind of thing for Cody, because you still are in that space and Cody is still young. You're still in that space where you want to.
Yes, where he wants to prove, where he wants to prove that he is who we all, who exactly. Some people never thought he would be.
Exactly. I don't think, I know for a fact Triple H is not in a space. We're not going to see Triple H come from backstage into AEW ring like, I'm here for the NXT champion. I mean, coming into the NXT ring saying, I'm here for the NXT championship. You know, like, he's not going to do that. I think that's the big difference between being an investor and being invested.
Yes, I'm 100%, because I feel as though Cody still has a lot to prove as a wrestler. Triple H can never wrestle again, and he's a legend.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer. He's going to end up being a three-time Hall of Famer by himself and with Evolution. That man has nothing else to prove. Nothing. He is a legend of the game, literally. Mm-hmm. Cody, if Cody stopped wrestling today, he hasn't left that legacy. His father has. Goldust has left the legacy. But what has Cody done? Cody helped start up this promotion, but Cody's legacy, I feel, will be defined by if AEW succeeds or fails. Yeah. Cody's legacy is riding on how AEW goes. And as a wrestling fan, as a fan of wrestling, I'm hoping that AEW succeeds. Because if AEW is succeeding and putting on kick-ass matches and great shows, makes WWE think, you know what? We ain't who we supposed to be. Exactly. We gotta up this shit. We gotta get better. That's what it's gonna do. And I'm happy that AEW is around. I'm happy that AEW is around. Because the wrestling world is better when we have multiple options. Moral of the story is, basically, as I said, Cody's legacy is gonna be AEW. If it succeeds, he's a genius. If it fails, he's just his legacy is AEW. What he becomes is AEW. I mean, a lot is riding on AEW when it comes to his legacy, because I think Cody needs this and Cody wants this so bad. But when it comes to the topic of Tony Khan, I just hope Tony Khan knows when to step in and knows, all right, this is my show. I run this. Like, you guys aren't going to do this.
So does he really run it because he's, like, the key investor? Like, what exactly is the role? Because I know that, whatchamacallit, Brandy is a chief brand officer, but I don't know what Cody is. I don't know what his role is. Hello.
I believe they're COO. Like, are they like chief operating officers or some shit like that?
She's the CBO, which is the chief brand officer. But I don't know what Cody is. Let me see if they have him on here under AEW. It's so many daggone links. Wikipedia is bad. He's the executive vice president.
And what is Tony Khan? What's his title?
Tony Khan. Let's see. Tony Khan. Let me see. I have to find the guy. me see. Here we go. All right, found him. He is the founder and president.
So would that mean that he makes all the final decisions, basically, or no?
He's the president. So, I mean, the only time that, as far as like an executive vice president, what Cody would do is kind of like a back burner, but he's the president. It's like Vince. You can't really do anything without Vince and the structure that they have here with AEW.
He'll make the final decisions.
Yeah, I'm trying to see who their personnel, who they have on here. Okay, so the head of talent relations is this guy named Christopher Daniels. The executive.
Did you really just say this guy named Christopher Daniels?
Yeah.
Isn't Christopher Daniels like a great, an old time?
Yeah.
Christopher Daniels is a wrestler.
He is a wrestler. That's his ring name. And he's the head of talent relations.
Okay. So why did you just disrespect Christopher Daniels like he isn't an OG of the game and just say this guy?
I don't know who he is.
Have you never watched TNA?
Not as much as you have, no.
Excuse me for my sister, guys. She's.
Okay, but also there's more executive vice presidents. This is where the other guys come in. Kenny Omega is also an executive vice president. And then the Young Bucks are also executive vice presidents. So, who's Leva Bates? Because she is a brand coordinator.
Okay, I don't think we need to know all the
No, I was just trying to see as far as like Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Cody. Those are the three people, well, four, when the Young Bucks are two. But those are the three that when it comes up in conversation about AEW, other than Tony Khan, that they're like, we're a part of this, we're invested in this. And you have all these executive vice presidents. So, I mean, Tony Khan is really going to have to take the reins on this. But Tony Khan is not Vince McMahon. He is not a legendary promoter. He is a
fan. I also think Tony Khan, I mean, we don't know Tony. To make as much money as he has, I also believe his father is generational type wealth because his father owns the Jaguars. So, you know, I'm not going to say Tony didn't work hard for what he has, but, you know, we all don't have billionaire fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not hating. He's great. He's fortunate enough to have one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Tony's nice. You know, we don't know. He's really going to, as we both said, he's going to have to know how to say no to these guys.
And then that comes into play with, are you knowledgeable enough in sports entertainment to do that?
Yeah, are you? He's been a lifelong wrestling
because
fan,
you
and
can
that's
be,
why.
Listen, you can be a businessman. It's the same situation with what happened with WCW. And I don't care how many people try to like not bring that up. It's always going to be brought up when you look at AEW and anything that's going on with going up against WWE is like an actual competitor. Like, because TNA, it was never competition for WWE. And who's to say that AEW is going to really be competition for WWE? But the reason that they're in the conversation is because on Wednesday nights, they're going to be going head to head with NXT. That's competition, period. So I don't know if, as a fan, if this is a great move for him, because you could be a businessman and be able to own this and that and have all this generational wealth as you speak of, but are you able to lead the promotion and know what's best for business and tell your EVPs that this is what we need to do and this is how we need to move? Because you know what it also comes down to is that you're a fan, but we are in this business because we're in ring talent. We have scratched and clawed and we've been on
yes,
the road.
Yes, yes, but it also, I feel as though him being such a big fan may like hurt the, because me and you, we should never, like, nobody should put us in charge of running a wrestling brand.
No, because we're going to think about like, everything that we've always wanted to see. Like, Kofi Kingston
I feel like we're the type who would really let the wrestlers, like, oh, you want to do that? Even though it may not be cool for sponsors and shit like that, we're the type to be like, oh, you want to do that? That's fucking awesome. Do it. Like, but that's why, like, you got to have, like, as Triple H and, you know, they all talk about, It's got to be a moment where it's like, all right, this isn't a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
But I think that Triple H has also surrounded himself with people in NXT and in general that have a love for the business, but understand that it's business.
Yes.
And are not taking it personal. 100% agree. And have personal, you know, like have these in these motivations of I ultimately want this title. When he has Shawn Michaels by his side, Shawn has had that career. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I feel like, yes, as I said, like they think about it. They have experienced the highest of highs in wrestling. Kenny Omega, he's a phenomenal wrestler, but he has never experienced success on a main stage. Like no disrespect to New Japan Wrestling. You know that they're incredible wrestlers, some of the best wrestlers in the world. But this is like, you're doing it here.
But like, listen, when you talk about New Japan, though, we're just talking about that's great wrestling, but it never compares to the star power of what WWE is.
Never.
Would never.
And I think that, you know, like Cody and these guys, they've never been mainstream big time superstars. And you're in a position where you kind of get to make decisions. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that, Lakia? Who wouldn't want that?
Where you basically get to call the shots on your career.
Yes.
And not have yes. calls and
it gets,
for you.
It gets messy when Kenny wants to be AEW champion and Cody wants to be AEW champion.
And then most people might listen to this.
Most people may look at this and be like, oh, look at these idiots on the Half Right podcast. But I'm just saying, if I was running a wrestling promotion, I'd want to be champ all the time. I'd want to make myself world champion all the time. I wouldn't want to lose to nobody for nothing. I'd always want to have a belt. I ain't lying. I'd always want it. And maybe that's just because we're crazy wrestling fans who think like that. But that's just how I feel.
I mean, you talking about if we were to have our own promotion, I mean, Kofi would be, if we were running WWE, Kofi would be champion forever.
Just yes, he would have got it years ago and never dropped it because exactly. We are pro-black.
Just because. And but, we would have it be how we want him to lose it to Big E, and it would be a New Day triple threat.
To main event WrestleMania.
To get the title.
Yeah.
It would be something ridiculous like that. Yeah.
We all know. I'd fight and claw. Sasha would never lose a match.
Yeah, Sasha would literally be the heel with blue hair that walks around with the title for like 3 years.
Yes, until Lakia finally convinced me to, we have to let somebody else hold the belt.
Someone else needs a chance. All right, yes. Y'all. We're going to wrap this up. Coming up next for NXT, on the debut show on October 2nd, the 2-hour show, is going to be Candice LeRae versus Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. The same night that AEW is going to be revealing their Women's Championship. So 10-2, everybody. The first week of October is going to be a big week for wrestling. We have WWE's NXT and SmackDown Live on their home stations full time. And then we have AEW on Wednesdays going head to head with NXT on TNT.
Excuse me, but I just saw this this video that Fightful Wrestling posted like 23 minutes ago. It's a WWE.com exclusive. Triple H, after NXT went off the air,
I just retweeted it.
Literally went out in the crowd. Like, he's a man of the people. Chanting NXT. That's incredible, bro. That is like,
that just makes
you love crazy wrestling.
Crazy. That's the thing about Triple H, is that no matter what people could say about, we know that the when they were doing the Authority, we know it was like a heel kind of faction. But when he and Stephanie were saying it's what's best for business, like that's what they live by. You know, like that is.
They don't always make the right decisions. I'm talking about NXT because WWE. Regular main roster, they don't always do it best for business.
Well, of course, that was like storyline wise. We know it gets like misconstrued and things like that, but I'm talking about the premise of it with the whole this is best for business. we love this, we live for this, this is our livelihood, but at the end of the day, business, this is a business. Yo, Triple H is, yo, I can't wait to watch that once we're done. Alfonso, hit him with what's happening on SmackDown that Friday.
October 4th, the debut of SmackDown Live on Fox, Friday night SmackDown. Brock Lesnar returned last night to give an F5 to Kofi Kingston.
Damn.
For the first time in over, I believe, 15 years, sheesh, Brock Lesnar is going to fight on the debut episode of SmackDown against Kofi Kingston. It is the match we need. It is the match I didn't know I wanted this bad. It is also the match that I think our brother Kofi Kingston will end up losing the WWE.
But hold up. It gets better. It gets better. Could you imagine this? Picture this. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar, Survivor Series, champion versus champion.
Amazing. Woo! Amazing. Amazing. Woo! Amazing. And we are not advocating for our brother Kofi Kingston losing the WWE title.
But could you imagine that match?
Yes. But Kofi should hold that title forever.
Yeah.
But eventually it will have to come to an end. Yeah. And I think, you know, Brock, like, that is like a big match for Fox to get the, you know, the debut episode.
I just hope that Brock actually comes to fight. If Kofi does drop the title, to be honest with you, I'm not going to be mad. It's kind of a bittersweet thing, because if the light at the end of the tunnel is Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, versus the Beast, Brock Lesnar, at Survivor Series, hell yeah. Yes, please. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it as well.
I'm freaking here for it, okay? So that wraps it up for this episode, y'all. Another instant reaction. 2 in a week. What? We're on the ball.
Yes, yes. So that's it for the Half Right podcast for the night.
1 second.
Oh, man. I'm trying to go to bed.
Hold on. Last thing, y'all. The next thing that we're going to be having is our mock draft.
Yes.
So
who's picking for... Who's pick? Can I pick for SmackDown, please?
You can pick for SmackDown, but I should pick first because I'm the birthday girl.
Yes, and it's also Raw. Raw probably will get the first. We have to know how the draft format is going to go before we put out the draft.
True. But that's coming, y'all. That's coming, y'all.
If SmackDown gets the first pick in real life, I'm going to get the first pick.
If I can see SmackDown is going to get the first pick because it's on SmackDown.
Yes, 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 obviously. So I want to pick for SmackDown. That's all I care about. All
right.
We're going to have our mock draft. That is going to be so fun. I always wanted to be a general manager. And, you know, SmackDown will be the superior brand at the end of the draft. Mm. Because I'm just better at picking things than my sister is. Mm.
We already know who you're picking first. Spoiler alert.
I may go with a girl. I'm going to have to put my fandom to the side for a little bit and actually think logically.
Put it to the side. Please do.
Because, you know, if it was really up to me, Sasha would be my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth.
And you would have nobody on your roster.
I wouldn't care because I'd have Sasha, so nothing else would matter.
Okay.
Would it? No, it wouldn't.
Of course not.
Because I'd have Sasha. Yes, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
All right.
And guess what, guys? It's time for me to go to bed.
That's right.
It's time for my sister to go to bed. I don't know what she's been doing these days. But anyway, thank you for listening to another episode of the Half Right Podcast.
It's dropping tonight, y'all, momentarily. It's going to be up by midnight.
Yes. Obviously, it's going to have dropped by the time people listen to it, smart one. But anyway, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. And we are out of here.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.